And now, the Great American Folk Show, a little place where we commune with you to share stories, sing some songs, and talk to some good people with great voices. Grammy Award nominated bluegrass artist Courtney Hartman is on the show today. The two of us will be discussing her new album released this summer, With You, The Garden Shed Session, and I know you're going to love it. I'm Tom Brusseau. Thanks for being here today. We're going to turn now to Benny Blue from New York. So if you're listening in Binghamton, make sure to go and see him perform. This first tune is his latest single, When I Am a Fossil.
Brushes the dust from my bones. Will they ever find the intentions that I own?
Hi. I'm Benny Blue. I'm a folk musician in upstate New York, in a region called the Finger Lakes, a large area of the state characterized by these long, skinny lakes and the steep hills that rise above them. The land itself is a big part of who I am and the music I make. As a musician, I wear many hats. I'm an old-time banjo player, a bluegrass bassist, a songwriter, composer, and teacher. And before I began to make music full-time, I was an environmental geologist. As a student studying geology, I got to see and travel to so many amazing places. I studied volcanoes in Hawaii, earthquakes in Los Angeles, and mountains in Argentina. Experiences that shaped the way I think about the earth, time, and our role in it all here as humans. My travels gave me exciting experiences and also the perspective to know that I eventually would return to my home in the Finger Lakes. The switch from being a scientist to making music was a natural one for me, and I feel like my approach is similar for both. As a songwriter, I'm curious and observational, just pitching theories and ideas to see what resonates with my fans and with my own heart. All the music I make is an echo of my relationship with the earth. Even the way I tour reflects this. I make just one or two national tours each year, getting around only by Amtrak and public transportation. Otherwise, I like to stay quite local. My latest album is entirely focused on our place in nature as modern humans. One song in particular is a celebration of awe and curiosity, cherishing a sense of wonder for simply being here. The inspiration for it began in my backyard just 375 million years ago when a little clam got caught up in a tropical storm and was buried in the mud. I spotted a little slug inching across the fossil of the clam under a pricker bush during an especially deep thought. Wow, this clam, this slug, this pricker bush, me, my dog, my backyard, millions of years between us, but we're all right here. And here is all I want to be. Thank you so much for having me.
Outside my door and I drop my jaw. I'm here. That's all.
This is the Great American Folk Show. I'm Tom Bruce, so we're going to keep it rolling right now with Marty Calls, a fantastic singer-songwriter joining us from Canada. In a moment, she'll be here to share the inspiration behind her brand new tune, Waves. Beautiful little track, but first let's take a listen to this one. It's entitled Drive.
Driving in my car, I feel so in control. Pedal and the road telling me just where to go. Sit quietly, listen to the radio. Taking in all I want, cause I can't do anything but drive. Just drive. Sometimes you like to talk to me, cause it's easy when I'm not looking. You know that I'm still listening. Sometimes it's colder than you want, but I just need time to think before I figure out just what to say. So I just try.
One morning I woke up and there was this bass line playing in my head. It was that really sort of magical time between still sleeping and just waking up. And I heard this bass line and I really wanted to capture it. And at the time, if I run downstairs and I play on the piano, I'm going to wake everybody up. So I ran to my basement where we do also have a music area set up, and you know, I had to turn everything on because everything's electric down there, and finally sat down at the keyboard and was able to plunk out this bass line. And I'm such a fan of having, you know, these thirds play with each other, but an octave apart. And it just was basically that melody over and over again. And then I know I want to was it. And so I had this melody sitting sort of in limbo for a while. And a few months later, I happened to be on the beaches of Grand Bend in Ontario, along beautiful Lake Huron waters. And these words just came to me, and it wasn't intended specifically to go with this song, but I realized shortly after that they would really work well together. And the lyrics really were based on this idea of what it's like to see water, to be on the water, to be afraid of water, to be afraid of the pull and the push, and to know that, you know, the struggle can sometimes also be the thing that makes you feel stronger at the end. I myself am not, you know, the best swimmer by any means. Would I survive a shipwreck? I don't know. But I also know what it's like to have been dragged underwater by some pretty serious undertow and had to get myself out of it. And I have survived that. And so I kind of feel like those are experiences that you have in your life, and you realize that there are times when you can get yourself out of touchy moments. Thank you.
I had the pleasure of meeting Courtney Hartman at the Bowery Ballroom in New York City in 2016 when I was on tour with Robert Ellis. Hard to believe that was 10 years ago now, almost to the day, actually. What I knew of her then was that she was an acoustic guitar playing great, even for as young as she was. The reputation was that there was nobody better. And getting to hear her style in person in 2016 as she played backstage, she proved to be even better than her stellar reputation. Her third studio album, With You, released in late 2025, is delicate and atmospheric and rhythmic. It was recorded at The Hive in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and co-written with some of Hartman's musical contemporaries, including Tiff Merritt, Anna Egge, and Sarah Siskind. And this month, she's rolling out a companion record, With You from the Garden Shed, which features those same tunes stripped down acoustically in her actual garden shed. And that's what we will be discussing today. And I'm so excited to share a couple tracks from it that I think drive home why she's one of the most thoughtful players around. Thank you so much for being with us today, Courtney.
Absolutely.
Your newest album, With You, the Garden Shed Session, is built on ambience. In the background, nature plays a part.
Like a hummingbird hole.
Not everything goes according to plan in life. It is rare if one can get through a year, you know, without some kind of trial or tribulation. But I'm not sure what the definition of life is, and I think it might have something to do with endurance and persistence. There's the album, With You, and then there's the story behind it. What is the story?
I started writing all the songs on With You when I was pregnant with my oldest daughter. And I love your statement about the definition of life being endurance, because even now the songs are morphing and changing. She's 3 years old now, so that was 3 years ago. And I had thought I was writing about something else and realized, oh, I need to pay attention right now to what's happening in my body. That didn't feel like something I really wanted to write about or felt comfortable writing about, but it felt important, and kept writing after she was born. And then when she was about 9 months old, started going back through those songs. And I was in a place where I was really yearning for a sense of companionship, not just like friends, but people who were maybe a step or two ahead of me to look at. I wanted to know that I would make it through this season that could feel so kind of like you're in a circle and they keep going around and around and the days and the nights run into each other. And I needed a sense that I would emerge from that whole, you know, with baby in hand, with my work in hand, and just feeling like I was myself. So I reached out to a handful of other mother writers, and we finished the songs together. And then I made that album here in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
How did you find your foothold as you were going along and co-writing with some of the other folks that you included on this record?
In the end, it was like a really fruitful, it felt really like a whole experience is the word that comes to mind. But at first it was so scary. It was really, I had to like give myself a pep talk before I would send an email and be like, here's this song I would love to finish with you. I think it's maybe a normal thing to feel nervous about that. But I hadn't done a lot of co-writing, not in person. And almost all of that record was co-written over Zoom with women I had never written with before. It ended up being such a delight, but very scary at first for whatever reason.
Maybe because the song would go into a direction that you didn't want it to go in, or that it would take on a different vibe?
Potentially, or maybe that you wouldn't get a response, or maybe the response is no, or maybe they think your Pete song is trash, or whatever the things that come up in your mind that make us resistant to connection. I think it's the same things. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm just trying to think of myself. If I ever sent a song out to a friend, I think a lot of times
your friends, in a way, the ones who know your music well enough, who are also songwriters, they might be the first ones to say, oh, this is a brilliant song. But then maybe in a way that's dangerous, because what you are looking for is someone to get in there and not be afraid to make a suggestion.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I had a really beautiful writing experience with Tift Merritt, and she's not afraid to get in there. And she's not afraid to ask me, like, what are you actually saying here? Or what are you, you know, she wasn't going to put words in my mouth, but she was going to help me find what I was wanting to articulate.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Great American Folk Show. We're on the phone with Courtney Hartman talking about some of the new songs she's written for an album entitled With You. Courtney, you mentioned Tift Merritt. Who are some of the other collaborations that you had with this record?
Some of the other songwriters were Sarah Siskind out of North Carolina, and Michaela Ann was a collaborator, and Anna Eggie, and Dawn Landes, and Kristen Andreasen. And then some of the musical collaborators, I wrote with Emily Franz of Watch House, and then they played with me and had a really beautiful, there's such a beautiful scene of musicians up here in Eau Claire that feel like family, and so they were the core of the record.
One of the standout tracks to me is this tune, Mama Help Me.
That one is it wasn't on With You. It's only on the Garden Shed sessions, and I'm so glad it will make it out into the world. And it's really, it just touches on, oh, that feeling of wanting to be mothered as a mother. And I think fathers can relate to that as well, but not always having that presence there and wanting to know if you're doing it right. I wrote that with Michaela Ann.
The older I get, the more that I find my own mother's eyes looking out from mine. It startles me. I don't know why it's startling. She was younger than I am when I was born. I cannot know the worry she bore, the weight of me pressing inside her, the weight of me. Mama, mama, sing over me. Mama, it's hard.
It's hard.
That was Mama Help Me, one of the songs off of Courtney Hartman's new record, With You Garden Shed Session. Beautiful tune. I've known you for a few years, such an admirer of your guitar playing style, and I'm always curious. I'm sure that I know some of your influences, but when you were growing up in Colorado, who were some of your idols, your playing idols, songwriting idols?
Bluegrass was what we got into as a family, and so those were some of my earliest influences, as far as like Doc Watson and Norman Blake and Tony Rice. Alison Krauss was the first singer I ever like really paid attention to. I got an album of hers when I was 6 years old. That was really important. It was a compilation record from Rounder Records with a lot of great folks on there. But then hearing Gillian Welch and hearing Sarah Siskin songs, it was when I was in college, I think, her, hearing Bill Frisell, hearing Joni Mitchell, those were some really like ear, heart opening things that certainly shifted what I was interested and excited about.
I know that Bill Frisell has performed with you before, at least on a record.
Yeah, we just did a duo piece for my first record, and he came in for the afternoon. It was just such a delight. He's so patient and so kind. Like, his presence and his playing can't help but put you at ease. And that was so wonderful to discover.
I think that would be quite something. I think of all the, you know, living guitar players that I could ever want to meet, one of them would have to be Bill Frisell. I mean, his records, just, there's just something special about him. He's such a thoughtful player, you know. And I would say the same of you. Your ability to play the guitar is on par with Bill Frisell, and your equipment. I mean, there's like certain people out there who just have the unique equipment. I know that you play, you know, a really interesting guitar, and I believe it was by Smart. Did Smart make it? Lawrence Smart from Idaho, I think.
Yes. Also one of the kindest humans. I love playing instruments that are made by people who are alive. Is, you know, it's wonderful. Like, vintage instruments are incredible, but there's something so special about the collaboration that can happen, I think, with a luthier and a musician. And so that's been so special. And yeah, Lawrence just, I mean, yeah, he's so kind and just infuses his instruments with the best energy.
Well, before we go, if you wouldn't mind setting up another song for us. This one is entitled Bright Eye. What's the story behind this song?
This one, when my daughter Temple was born, she was a few months old, but we would call her Bright Eye. She still has really sharp blue eyes. And that's just, the melody was something I started singing to her. And it's maybe the most, like, maybe the brightest song, for lack of a better word, the brightest song I've ever written. Yeah, just about the delight of being with her.
Courtney Hartman, thank you so much for being on the Great American Folk Show today.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
Sun on the leaves, dancing crazy, tree tops. is a wonder now. Every word coming from your mouth, bright eyed babe of mine, you make the highs go higher, you make the days feel lighter, you make the highs feel higher, you make the days go
lighter. Support for the Great American Folk Show comes from the Lorac family, the estate of Blair Flegel, and Minn Kota Power Cooperative, helping meet the electricity needs of rural member cooperatives in eastern North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota. Our power is our people. More information at minnkota.com. It's the Great American Folk Show. Thanks for being here. Recorded musical works are available because someone has either set up a studio somewhere or has toted a portable recording machine to record with and, in effect, created a temporary studio. The latter describes how music was captured in rural areas back in the early 20th century. Those who did this work were called field recordists, and we've covered field recordists more than a few times on the show in the past. I am fascinated by field recordists. They traveled over all kinds of terrain to capture a song, and in doing so, they prevented the tune from going extinct while simultaneously preserving a local tradition. This work was difficult, needless to say. So, to wrap up the show today, Dennis Herbeck from Grand Forks, North Dakota, will share his own compositions recorded in his own way in his makeshift basement studio. He's been doing it a long time and become quite good at it. And Chris Haddix from West Virginia. Chris is not only a successful singer-songwriter in his own right, but he also studies historical West Virginia field recordings, paying homage to early 20th century singers from the state and the folk songs they sang, as captured by the day's field recordists. Chris Haddix joins us now.
This is Chris Haddix in Morgantown, West Virginia, where I am a folk singing professor at West Virginia University. My reason for visiting with you on the Great American Folk Show today is to share some information about the rich but little-known folk music history of the southern West Virginia coalfield counties of Logan, Lincoln, and Mingo. For many, the mention of West Virginia brings to mind a variety of negative stereotypes that I won't even go into here. For others, West Virginia means the Hatfields and McCoys. For some, it means coal and a labor history centered around the West Virginia mine wars. And for others still, it means a rich Appalachian culture full of artisans, crafters, back-to-the-landers, and musicians. Nearly every genre of American music has a significant tie to a West Virginian or two. Some students of roots and early blues recordings may be familiar with the late 1920s records made by Dick Justice, Frank Hutchison, and the Williamson Brothers and Curry. Each of the coal mining artists had cuts appear on the 1952 anthology of American folk music. Rather unknown, however, is a set of field recordings that a professor of English at West Virginia University named Lewis Watson Chapel gathered in his travels across the West Virginia landscape during the summers from 1937 to 1947. During those years, Chapel lugged a large two-piece machine that made sound recordings on 12-inch aluminum discs. He visited with 88 people across West Virginia and made nearly 2,000 recordings. Many of his subjects sang unaccompanied songs, and many others played fiddle and occasionally banjo. The songs were a mixture of old world ballads, contemporary play party songs, and some hymns. While the collection itself is impressive, there is a subset that is particularly impressive. In August of 1940, Chapel visited with Kate Toney, Lum Pack, Sarah Workman, Tom Witt, Mary Jane Dyson, Rhoda Nelson, and Paula Cole in their homes in Logan, Lincoln, and Minco counties, and collected 213 recordings that are quite stellar in their breadth and depth. The singing of Kate Toney, Rhoda Nelson, and Sarah Workman is unrivaled by anything collected elsewhere in the Southern Appalachian Mountains by other musicologists. And Kate's body of work, 85 songs, is rather remarkable. In fact, it was Kate from whom Dick Justice most certainly learned Henry Lee. Though her melody is quite different than Dick's more contemporary Carter family-esque style melody. We know that Bob Dylan and many others first heard Henry Lee from this very early recording of Dick Justice. So how cool is it that this little old woman from Kitchen, West Virginia would eventually influence folk singers decades after her passing? This is a good time to listen to Kate Toney sing her version of Henry Lee.
Get down, young Henry Lee, and sail night with me. The best of lodging I can afford will be much better for thee. I can't get down, I won't get down, nor sail night with thee. The pretty little girl in the merry green lands I love much better than thee. She lent her breast again the sand so far, a kiss or two, and with her knife in her right hand she plunged him through and through. Some took him by his little white hand, some took him by the feet. They plunged him in that deep blue well all for 100 feet. They plunged him in the deep blue well, oh, for 100 feet. Lie there, young Henry Lee, till the meat drops off in your bones. A pretty little girl in the merry green land will mourn for your return. The pretty little girl in the merry green land shall mourn for your return. Get down, you pretty little bird, and light up on my right knee. Your house shall be made of the brightest of gold, your doors of ivory. Your house shall be made of the brightest of gold, your doors of ivory. I can't get down, I won't get down, and light up on your right knee. Poor woman that'll murder her own sweetheart would kill a poor bird like me. Poor woman that'll murder her own sweetheart, they'll kill a poor bird like me. I wished I had my bended bow, my arrow and my string. I'd cherish the dark so near your heart, your woman would be in vain. But you ain't got your bended bow, your arrow, nor your string. I'll just fly away to the merry green lands and tell what I have seen.
Chapel captured some of the finest field recordings of old world ballads still being sung in the Southern Appalachians. But unfortunately, he came up very short in terms of documenting those people from whom he was collecting the songs. His notes are scant, scarcely more than the listing of the performer's name, location, and date of recording for each track. There are no pictures, no mentions of how he tracked down his various subjects, though some of that can be figured out from previous collectors, nor any biographical information about the singers or where they got their songs. Had Chapel followed the protocols of his predecessor, the famed John Harrington Cox, who published the seminal work Folk Songs of the South, he would have written down such things for future users of the collection. So the purposes of my research are severalfold. One is to try to fill in the gaps left by Chapel. Two, to document the findings in an online website called Folk Music of the Southern West Virginia Coalfields. And to use this musical heritage as a pushback against the all-too-common narrative that West Virginia and her people are about nothing other than coal. And to assist the West Virginia and Regional History Center with making these fine recordings available to the world via streaming and downloading, and to keep this music alive by sharing the fascinating history with younger traditional musicians. The website is tinyurl.com/West Virginia Folk Songs. So let's go out with Tom Witt fiddling a tune he calls Come Back Boys.
There are a lot of local greats wherever you go. Grand Forks certainly has its own. I'd like to spotlight one of them now, Dennis Herbeck. Denny, as he's called by his friends. I've seen him perform a few times, and he regularly releases performance videos on Facebook. What I admire about Denny is his genuine love for playing and learning new tunes, alongside his incredible support for our local music community. In short, he both plays and listens. I met up with him at his home studio in his basement for a little visit and to set up a couple of his produced tracks. Denny, thank you so much for being on the Great American Folk Show.
Well, thank you so much for being over here, Tom. Anytime, you're always welcome.
There's a song that you recorded recently. I know it by the date, April 10th, but there's a title to it, and it's kind of got this minor chord feel, but then it gets to the chorus, and it opens up into a major chord. It's got a cool vibe. I love the production of it, and I'm so curious how you recorded it and how you wrote it, and also what the title is of the song.
Well, it's called The Horse-Drawn Van, and of course, if you look at the photo, I haven't gotten good enough to make a full video on anything yet, but I usually try to do a song and then think of a caption that would maybe somehow give you a visualization of what the song might be. And so it's an old ice wagon what's drawn by a horse. And of course, in the old days, that's how you got your coolant, as they drove around and delivered ice. So I find myself, noodling is a good word for it. Sometimes you either have something that you're thinking about, and you can maybe lay down some lyric lines or poems or different kinds of things. And since I've gotten into this, digital audio workstation, which I just think is an absolute hoot. I don't know why I didn't do this a while back, but it's fun. And so I have a chance to lay down some tracks, add some things to it, which maybe gives us a different dimension or a little different feel. And but that's how I really start writing. And, whether it's a kind of a moody emotional or even an uplifting or a sad country song, and I still like a bit of rock and roll, so I don't mind pounding out some good beats doing that as well.
Around and just deny it. nothing left now, time to retire. Sun comes up on a darkened land, time to go and take a stand. Sun goes down on a darkened land, time to go and take your stand. Seen the ghost of an old dead rat, looking for food yet, how about that? Sewers are empty and the rivers don't flow. Looks like we gave away our soul. Sun comes up on a darkened land, time to go take a stand. Sun goes down on a darkened land, time to go and take a stand. Last man used to be a friend of mine. Cool the water in a horse-drawn van. Not no more a thing of the past. New ice man come, nothing lasts. Sun comes up on a darkened land, time to go and make a stand. Sun goes down on a darkened land, time. In this old place, might be prison, might be jail. If you're gonna stand with no disgrace, then find your spot and take your place. Sun comes up to a darkened land, time to go and make a stand. Sun goes down on a darkened land, time to go.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Great American Folk Show. We're visiting with one of my favorite local musicians, Denny Herbeck. The digital age and being able to do things that you wish you could have done 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. Now you've discovered it and you've got the equipment and the freedom. And the sky's the limit.
I'm not a spring chicken, as you know. We've talked before, Tom. You know, it's nothing better to being out front live and playing in front of people. But on the other side, if I couldn't get out of this basement again and I could hang tight on that and I could reach all the different guitars and actually fool around with that keyboard you see behind me, which, as you can also see, I've got letters on each of the keys so I know where they are. So when I put that little organ piece in the end of that track, and the beauty of digital audio recording is that I can do it over and over till I get it right.
How long have you been writing songs, Denny?
Well, I think I've been probably writing for at least probably 20 years.
And what did you do in life, Denny? You're retired, I know, but what did you do in life for a J.O.B.?
Yeah, I worked in the court system in North Dakota just about all my life. I started out, graduated from the University of North Dakota, and I have a social work degree. I was a juvenile probation officer. I was fortunate to stay in the system, get some other positions. I ended up as a court administrator for the northeastern part of the state. So I kind of rung all the bells in the system of the courts. But I spent a full 33 years in the court system in North Dakota. So, but right here in Grand Forks.
And how about hobbies?
Well, in 1963, the Beatles came out, and we're going to start dating myself now, and I still have a ticket stub upstairs for when I seen the Beatles in Minneapolis, and I think it was 65. And everybody got a guitar then, right? And so everybody started playing, and we played, and I played in two or three bands in Grand Forks. And then I think the idea of music never left me. There's simple beauty in letting six strings ring out.
Thank you for inviting me down into your basement again, to your beautiful studio, and for being on the Great American Folk Show.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it very much, and you're welcome. Brake lights, midnight and moonlight, screen doors, old floors and daylight. Can you imagine me and you, all the things that we do? It's all magic to me, everything that we do.
And that's our show for today. We'd like to thank you for listening, and we'd like to thank our guests, Benny Blue, Marty Qualls, Courtney Hartman, Chris Haddix, and Dennis Herbeck. My name is Tom Brusseau. May you find that lucky old son until we meet again.